You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello again, Pirates fans, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. My name is Jason Rolison. In addition to this podcast, you can find me on the pages of Pirates Breakdown and BucksDugout.com. And today we're going to have our off-day mailbag. Every time the Pirates have an off-day, we like to open the mailbag to kill some time and pontificate on hot topics around the Pirates Baseball Club. So let's get started. First question comes from John N. And he says, who do you believe will make up the five-man rotation on September 1st? That's a real tough question. So I'm going to take a cop-out and say that more or less you'll see what you see now. I really don't think Ivan Nova will be traded this year, barring either a complete collapse or just on his part or on the team's part. So I think he, Jameson Taillon, Trevor Williams are absolutely rock solid as three-fifths of the starting rotation. As for the other two, it's really hard to say at this point. I think Chad Kuhl, as much as he's been up and down, has shown enough stuff to warrant staying in the rotation for at least the time being. Of course, your question was on September 1st. That's nearly three full months away, more than three full months away. So who knows what can happen between now and then. I really don't think the Pirates are going to swing for a starter this year at the trade deadline, unless my first point about Nova is drastically off and perhaps they do trade him and bring in another starting pitcher in a separate deal. But I think there's enough talent here that they think they can get by through a whole season. Nick Kingham, Joe Musgrove coming in now, and possibly Mitch Keller on September 1st, as we said, the question is September 1st, so he's definitely in play for that. So I think there's enough talent there that the Pirates don't think they have to go out and get a starting pitcher. Again, unless they want to dramatically overhaul their team, should Nova or the club completely fall apart. And Chris N's question was an ETA on Mitch Keller's arrival in MLB. If you had asked me this, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I would have said what I've been saying all year, which is that Mitch Keller should be a September call-up at the very best case scenario. With the club calling up Austin Meadows and showing that they're maybe a little more aggressive than they have been in the past with calling up these prospects, I'm going to kind of upgrade my forecast and say that you might see him midsummer. I really do. Now, he's been a little bit up and down at Altoona with the AA club. So, you know, I'm not entirely sure how they view him. Sometimes results don't mean that much, but at least at the AA level, you kind of want to see a starting pitcher start to dominate at least before you send him up to AAA and see how he fares. So I think that the Pirates might be tweaking their philosophy a little bit. It won't result in a drastic change. You know, they're not going to call him up right away or anything like that. But I think a little bit sooner than September is in play. So that's my answer, either September 1st or maybe August sometime. So another really good one from John N that I'd like to share. Most Pirate drafts have a theme: power arms, contact middle infielders, tough signs or overslot, etc. What do I believe this year's theme will be? If you look around at the Pirates club, there's really not that many drastic needs. Pretty much every position has a current starter, the next guy up, and then maybe even the next guy after that for depth. So I really think it's going to be a best player available. I know that's pretty boring. And to be honest, I haven't really started my draft prep much. It's 2 weeks away, so maybe I should. But I really think it's best player available at this point. If I had to pick a position, I would say someone that projects as a very good starter. They'll have the 10th pick in the draft, so there should be someone there for them. So I think starting pitching or the best player available. Matt D. asks, what will the starting outfield be come opening day next year? Wow. That's the question everybody's asking, right? From Andrew Filipponi of 93.7 The Fan, who ignited Pirates Twitter with a tweet asking who has to go, Polanco or Corey Dickerson, should Meadows stay up and continue to perform well. For the record, I think Polanco should be the answer there. But what do I think it will be? I think it will either be status quo or minus Dickerson. I really think that the club has an inflection point here. They have to commit to either Gregory Polanco or Corey Dickerson. They can approach Dickerson with an extension, of course, and if those talks go well, that kind of predicates what the outfield will look like. I really don't think they're going to shop Polanco, but as much as he has faults in his game, he is cost-controlled at a very good rate with two team options at the back end. Affordable ones at that. I think it tops out $12.5 million in his last year. So he's got cost control. He's a young outfielder. Despite his foibles, despite the low batting average, the tendencies to just open that swing wide open at times, he's still putting up an above average WRC plus. He's still getting on base at a better clip than he has prior to his career to this point. And he's providing run production. As much as that 220-something, 230-something average looks ugly, at the end of the day, that's really all that matters, and he is doing that. I want to take a quick moment here to tell you that if you own a business or a decision maker at a business, we really want you to advertise on Locked On Pirates. Our rates are incredibly low. We are a daily podcast, so just from that fact alone, you're going to get a lot of ROI. So please, if you want to get a hold of me, please do so to talk about this. I'm at lockedonpirates@gmail.com or on Twitter at lockedonpirates, and we'd love to get the process started with you. Okay, Ron James asks on Facebook, with his ERA being just north of 4 in 2016-2017 and his ERA over 5 this year, what would be a realistic package the Pirates could put together for Chris Archer? So I understand this question. Chris Archer is kind of a white whale for Pirates fans in terms of trade. He and David Price, the ones that got away. As far as what could get him, the Rays need pieces, and they need cheap pieces, cheap controllable pieces. So like we just talked about, Polanco, though he is cost-controlled, not really a good option for them because of the price tag. They'll need some starting pitching. We're seeing them trot out Sergio Romo to start games and then go out after one inning just because their starting pitching has been a little suspect. So I don't really think there's a match here that doesn't result in the Pirates giving up one of Austin Meadows or Mitch Keller. And I think that's a deal-breaker for the Pirates. And I think for most Pirates fans, too. I just don't see it happening. I think the time to do it would have been a couple years ago, but that ship has sailed. I'm sorry to say. And Archer, for all his seemingly subpar performance, still is also under team control for a reasonable rate for the next 3-4 years. But he is just the one that got away. So the best thing you could do as a Pirates fan is just to get that out of your mind. Okay, moving on. We have Sam D. who asks, thoughts on Ke'Bryan Hayes with the trade to acquire Moran, along with Gong's return. Is Hayes looked at as the future of the position, or do you see him being a trade chip to acquire other assets? Or am I wrong in either assumption? Well, this is tough, because the thing that you have to remember about Ke'Bryan Hayes is he is still just 21 years old, drafted straight out of high school, reached Altoona this year, started the year with them, will probably spend the whole year there as well. So the Pirates definitely have the luxury of time. They can definitely slow play him at AA. At this point, I would really expect him to spend the whole year there. Start him at AAA next year and kind of see where he is. Maybe even give him a full year there. But with that being said, Gong is such a first of all, a unique situation. But second of all, he's still very cheap. And I believe after this season, he is on option year. So the Pirates can definitely take a fork in the road with Gong if he doesn't come back to the level that they need him to be a productive player. But Ke'Bryan Hayes is absolutely both of those. He is the future of the position, to the very least platoon with Colin Moran, or be a trade chip. That's how good he's played this year. That's how much of a pedigree he has to this in his professional career to date. So there's definitely a fork in the road coming. But because he's so young, the Pirates can definitely take their time in trying to decide what to do. Vincent B. has a couple of good questions. If you had to have one realistic piece, and he stresses realistic, added to the team, what type of player would it be? Any player in mind? I don't have a specific player for you, Vince, but I do think the Pirates would love to have another bullpen arm, another lefty bullpen arm at that. Obviously, Richard Rodriguez has come in and done a great job in the back of the rotation. Kyle Crick, since he's been called back up, has been great. I think the Pirates would take an upgrade in a left-handed spot if they could. And I think that's the play. I really don't think around the diamond there's much need for a position player, especially with Gong coming back, especially with Meadows now appearing to be at the very least a viable, very viable fourth outfield option. So there's no position player need. There's really not much starting pitcher need from the kind of thoughts that I put out earlier in the podcast. So that's the play. Lefty middle reliever, and that should be pretty cheap on this market. Vince's other question is, what do you think Austin Meadows' ceiling could be, Josh Bell's ceiling, etc.? Well, if you take a trip back 2 years ago, these were the two guys, right? These were the two guys that were going to be the cornerstone of this lineup for years to come. Meadows would lock down the outfield. Bell would be a hot bat in the middle of the order. in the infield now after moving from right field. So these are the guys, and I think they have great ceilings. I think Austin Meadows could be a 30-20 guy. Not the speediest guy, but could definitely steal a couple bases, and also has great defense up the middle, which is always desired. I love what I've seen so far. Obviously, who hasn't? His ceiling is going to be that 30-run home run power if he grows into it. Now, he took a step back in power this year at AAA Indianapolis. Saw him hit his first home run the other day, and it was what I liked about it was he showed off his power because he went down and got it and pushed it out, pretty much just powered it out through power alone. So as he learns to take better pitches, as he learns to get better pitches to hit, that raw power could translate into game power. I think Josh Bell, I think the 28 home runs he hit last year were kind of a mirage. I like him to be more of a 20 to 23 home run player with a high average, the high 200s, low 300s at the very least. On-base threat, we've seen that before, and just a guy you can count on to produce runs. So these guys are going to be the cornerstones of this offense for quite some time, and it's really exciting to watch it come to fruition right now. So we're going to end this Q&A podcast with a question from Jeff S. on Twitter, who asks, who are the starting five rotation for the Pirates once everyone is healthy? Will Glasnow get another shot starting, or could we see him in an Andrew Miller-type role? This is tough, because the past 2 weeks I've noticed that Clint Hurdle does not really like to pitch Tyler Glasnow all that much. It's kind of frustrating because this guy is going 6-7 days in between appearances. I'm not quite sure how he's supposed to get better if he can't get into the game. So that kind of tells me where his standing is with the team right now. It's obvious they're in no rush to see if he can stand up as a starting pitcher. And there's also apparently no rush to really use him in an Andrew Miller type role. He obviously has the arm to do both. We've seen him just casually add a slider, just something to tinker with, and I think that's an exciting development. We've seen him with the curveball, which has been very effective, and his control has gotten better for the most part with every start, although the results don't necessarily say that. So, your guess is as good as mine, but it's very clear that the Pirates are taking their time once again with a high pedigree starting pitcher. This time, reasonably so. I would think so, understandably so. They've been burned by Glasnow before in the starting rotation, and they need to really stop, think, and watch and see what he can be for this club. And I think that decision might not come until next year. Well, that's going to end it for this off-day's QA podcast. So thank you very much for listening. And if you want to listen to us and help us out, the best thing to do, leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your shows, and tell a friend. That's the best way to help us out. So thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.